Welcome, everyone, to the Hecate's Doorway podcast. My name is Brandon, and Gabe over there is finding his center.
Trying to reach the sixth dimension.
How's that going for you?
Yeah, I'm still stuck on the first dimension.
Sounds like you're going to be there a while.
Yeah, probably.
This dimension sucks. Take me to a new one.
All right, Brandon. What's today's episode about?
Today's episode has been a long time in the making, mostly because I just could not find a way to write this for some reason. But today we are talking about Delphine LaLaurie.
Who is this Delphine LaLaurie?
She is a great fucking question. One thing that I kind of ran into when I was researching this is the same problem I have every time we cover a history episode.
What?
Lack of details.
Yeah.
Delphine LaLaurie, also known as Marie Delphine McCarty, was a socialite and serial killer from the 1800s New Orleans who tortured and murdered the slaves in her household until her crimes were discovered in 1834 when responding to a fire in her home revealed the horrible conditions she left her slaves in.
Damn.
Yeah, this one's all about murder and torture of slaves.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it
even
worse. Yeah.
Ouch.
Delphine LaLaurie was born on March 19th, 1787, in Spanish Louisiana, New Orleans. She was one of five children of Father Luis Bartholomew de McCarty.
Why is everyone having such big-ass names?
Oh, dude, just you wait. Oh, just gosh. You wait. There's, like, I think a name with, like, eight names in it coming up.
Jesus.
God. That's just a long-ass name.
Nice.
And mother Marie Jean Larrabel, I think. The family moved to Louisiana from Ireland in 1730 during the French colonial period.
Ooh.
So a big thing about this is, like, basically, this is around the time where both France and Spain were basically going back and forth over ownership of Louisiana before Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah.
So, not that that really affects what happened, but just a little bit of history, I guess.
For those of you that didn't pass history class.
Yeah, you remember the Louisiana Purchase?
Honestly, I did. I went through history class and I barely remember half that shit. So, Delphine was born into a family of socialites. Her uncle, Esteban Rodriguez Muro, was governor of the Spanish-American province in Louisiana and in Florida from 1785 to 1791. Her cousin Augustine de McCarty was mayor of New Orleans from 1815 to 1820. Around the time Delphine was four, in 1791, the Haitian Revolution erupted when self-liberated slaves revolted against the French in what is now Haiti. But at the time was a French colonial Saint Dominique.
Yeah, like Saint Dominique, I guess, is what they called it back then. Before the Haitians were like, no, we actually live here, so we're calling it Haiti. So fuck nice. You.
Something that caused the slave owners in the southern United States afraid of a similar revolution of their own. This and many of the events that followed caused slave owners to further abuse the slaves, which, why, you're afraid that they're going to revolt. So what's the plan? Abuse them further.
It's like, you know, the shitty dads who are like, you're going to listen to me, or I'll beat the shit out of you, basically. Put the fear into them. Which is fucked up.
No, that's just going to make them hate them and want to revolt more.
Yeah, you know, it's totally not like there's going to be a civil war about this whole thing coming up soon.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all.
No. South definitely won.
I don't know. Some people think they did.
Some people have smooth brains.
Hoping the fear they'd instill would defeat any possibility of a revolution of their own in America. Failed?
Yeah, failed.
By the time she was 13, in June 11th, 1800, Delphine would marry her first husband. Also, I forgot, back then they used to marry that young. Don Ramon de Lopez y Angulo. A high-ranking Spanish royal officer, but in 1804, when traveling to Madrid, Spain, with Delphine to be appointed the Consul General of Spain, Don Ramon would die in Havana, Cuba, Days later, Delphine would give birth to her and Don Ramon's daughter, Marie Bourgeois Delphine Laplace. Stop laughing.
I can't.
You're making it worse.
There's like eight names.
The like
Candelaria.
Candelaria or.
Or Porquita.
Or Porquita.
Yeah. Where the hell do half of those names come from?
More likely family pass on names.
Jesus Christ. I think there's a reason we have like two names and an optional middle name nowadays.
Yeah. Back then, it was just like, I guess, keep adopting.
Your name is this and 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 this.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I don't know, with my people, you don't just take the father's name. You can also keep the mother's name as well, or the mother's maiden name. Use it as a last name and just keep adding.
Like the hyphenated?
Yeah. To just show where they come from, basically.
So we're... Well, I mean... I was gonna say, we'll just call her Borquita, but Borquita never fucking shows up again.
Oh, that's just a nickname that they gave the dog.
Yeah. I'm getting really tired of calling you eight different names, so we're just gonna give you a nickname.
Did you ever find out how he died, or...?
No, I really tried. I really dug through... figure out how he died. I'm pretty sure it was just natural causes, because again, this is, you know, late 17 early 1800s.
Yeah.
Infection,
scurvy,
the anything. Flu will kill you. So yeah, they probably just fucking died. I couldn't find out how old he was either, but he was probably like at least mid-20s by this point. So
after our daughter was born, both her and Delphine would return to New Orleans.
In 1808, when she was 21, Delphine would take a new husband, banker, lawyer, merchant, and legislator, Jean Blanc. I think Blanc. We're going to say Blanc.
Blanc.
Blanc would buy a new house for his new wife and daughter at 409 Royal Street, New Orleans. The two would also have four children together: Marie, Louise, Pauline, Louise, Marie, Lori, Marie, Louise, Jean, and Jean, Pierre, Pauline, Blanc. Two of those almost have just swapped names.
Yeah.
Marie, Louise, and Louise, Marie. And two of them are named Marie's Louis. There are more names. Can you think of more names? In 1816, husband number two would die. Again, could not find out how he died. So I'm guessing natural causes, though. I don't think she killed him to gain any wealth, because she was already wealthy.
Yeah.
She was already wealthy. I don't think she needed more wealth. So I'm going to say they probably did just die of natural causes.
It could have been anything. Hell, he could have been mistreated her, and she just didn't like that. So she decided to have some... She got paid someone off to do it.
Maybe.
If that was the case.
I just feel like if it was like a murder of some kind, there would actually be at least something. The fact that for both of them, I could not find anything on how they died.
I mean, they could have used poison.
Undetectable poison.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Now, even detectable poison, they wouldn't know what it was.
Undetectable for them, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I couldn't find out how either of them died at all. I really tried.
Yeah.
And almost 10 years later, on June 25th, 1825, not 1925.
Yeah. It is not.
It's not the 1900s yet, guys. Calm down.
It's not the 21st century.
Not yet. Delphine would marry her third and final husband, Leonard Louise Nicholas LaLaurie. In 1831, they moved out of their home on 409 Royal Street, and Delphine bought a new home for the family at 1140 Royal Street, completely managed on her own. And a year later, she had a two-story mansion built on the property with an attached slave quarters.
As time went on, it seemed Delphine and her husband, number three... Why did you put husband number three and not just his name?
It sounded funnier. She's on her third fucking husband at this point.
They wouldn't get along at all too well, and on November 16th of 1832, she petitioned the First Judicial District Court for separation of bed and board for him. Delphine would tell the court that Leonard had treated her in such a manner as to ruin her living living together unsuitable. Her children from her last husband would confirm these allegations as well. Damn.
Yeah,
so. Dude fucked up.
I guess so. I don't know. I couldn't find out what he did. I tried to find that out too.
Yeah.
But I mean, it does. At the end of the day, it doesn't sound like it was probably anything more than just like not getting along.
He was also back in his 1800s when women were still treated like shit, even if they were rich.
True. And obviously, she's got the one with all the money.
Yep.
So he's probably got little man syndrome.
Oh yeah.
So segue before we get into this history of the bitch. Over. We got her backstory. We got everything figured out. Now we're getting into the whole reason that we're even talking about her.
Nice.
So we're going to start talking about abuse.
Ooh,
abuse. She seemed to have somewhat of a public image, which contrasted with what we find out later, which is basically par for the course for every rich person.
Yeah.
So let's just dive into this cesspool.
So, she is publicly kind to black people and courts the court of her even freeing two of her slaves. I think it's safe to say that this could be nothing more than PR stunts, basically. Because before a certain event that is responsible for bringing others to light, Delphine was seen as a respectable and kind member of society. But after 1834, all of that would change.
She was seen as a kind person until she wasn't.
Oof. Not the young ones, Anakin.
Not, not the young just things. The men, but the women and the children, too.
April 10th, 1834, the LaLaurie mansion had caught fire burning away. Neighbors began to rush to the home to help extinguish the blaze. Many of the bystanders wanted to enter the slave quarters to get everyone they could out. But Delphine would not unlock the door for anyone, so they broke the door down. When they did, they discovered 7 slaves, more or less horribly mutilated.
Yeah.
These events were chronicled by Harriet Martineau, a prolific writer. She visited New Orleans in 1836 and gathered tales and information from those who were there at the time of the fire. The happenings after and from those who'd known Delphine before, everything spiraled out of control for her.
That's basically where most of this comes from. She came down and I think she kind of heard about this. She was kind of like traveling the world and everything and documented most of this from what people had to say.
Cool.
One such tale told to Martineau was that of an 8-year-old slave girl falling to her death from the roof of Delphine's mansion while trying to avoid punishment. When the fire marshals got to the burning mansion, they reported finding the house's 70-year-old cook chained to the stove. She would state that she started the fire on purpose as an attempt to take her own life for fear of a punishment she thought she was going to receive. She claimed that slaves who were taken to the upper level for punishment never returned. With the fire marshals, Judge Jean-Francois Canot had entered the mansion. Inside, he would state that he found one woman wearing an iron collar. And he says this a little differently, but I'm not going to repeat how he said it. Y'all can look it up yourself if you want to.
A lot of N-words. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind, I'm not gonna say.
Yeah, we're not gonna say that.
We're like, oh shit.
One woman wearing an iron collar, an older woman with a deep wound in her head and was too weak to even walk amongst the slaves trapped inside. The judge would question Delphine's husband about the tortured slaves in their house, who replied, and I quote, "Some people had better stay at home rather than come to others' houses to dictate laws and meddle with other people's business."
That's literally the judge's whole thing, though. To dictate laws.
I love how he's just like, yeah, you should just stay out of my fucking business. Sir?
You're going to jail.
I mean, he didn't even be like, I don't even know what, I didn't know. I just knew they were in the, he was just like, yeah, stay out of my business. Like, bro, you could have gotten away with this.
Yeah.
But no, he just had to be a fucking dick about it. After this revelation, a mob descended on the mansion where they, quote, demolished and destroyed everything upon which they could lay their hands, end quote. This is one thing that it almost feels a little weird to me. I mean, I guess it's a good thing, but it feels weird that people are so enraged by how their slaves were treated.
Yeah.
Because when you think about, especially southern United States during the slave time, you think of people treating slaves like shit all the time. I didn't realize that there was even a possibility that people could like be like, yo, that's not right.
Not everywhere in the world that had slaves treated the same as it did over here in the U.S. back in the day.
I mean, this is U.S. though.
Yeah. I mean, like in other parts of the world, for them, they had slaves, but it doesn't mean they could just treat them how they wanted.
There were
certain rules and laws they still had to abide.
I guess that might make sense because this is mostly like, I don't know if this is post Louisiana Purchase at this point, but I guess this is a lot of people from Europe living here at the moment.
Yeah. They still saw them like, even though they were slaves, some still viewed them as like still people. They're good. Just below them, but they're like still, for them, it's just like, what the fuck?
A sheriff was called in to attempt to break up the mob, but even after dispersing everyone, the mansion was nearly completely destroyed with, quote, scarcely anything remaining but the walls, end quote. So they turned that shit down. The slaves were taken from the mansion and moved to a local jail for the public to look at them and, quote, convince themselves of their suffering, end quote.
What does that mean?
From what I gathered, they were taken to a jail for, like, a public view where everyone can look at them and see how they were
treated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which both is like, okay, well, it's good that it wasn't covered up.
Yeah.
But also feels kind of fucked up that they're just, like, you know, beating the fuck up and everyone just, like, staring at them.
Yep.
But, you know, I guess at least it wasn't swept under the rug. I guess, you know.
Events during older times, such as in this story, were already not well documented, as is, but the events that follow the fire are even less so. From the writings of Martineau, we know that following these events, Delphine Lalor would flee New Orleans in the midst of a mob tearing down her mansion. She first fled to Mobile, Alabama, then from there she fled to Paris.
Isn't it kind of like just ironic that there's a town in Alabama called Mobile?
Yes.
Welcome to Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, Mobile.
We all live in mobile homes where we have sexual relations with each other.
Yeah, I'm sure not everyone, but probably.
Basically, from the point of the fire on, we know almost nothing.
Yeah.
Because I guess she just fled in the... I don't know why they didn't, like, seize her immediately. But she's basically just, like, standing there as they already found the slaves, already questioned her husband, and are trying to stop the mob from tearing the home, giving her all the time in the world to just flee.
Yeah,
she just took off. I think she took her children with her, too. So, like, her whole fucking family basically fled, and no one stopped her.
I don't know. Weird times. I guess she started connections, money...
I guess. I don't know. It almost just sounds to me like they were just more occupied with the house.
Yeah.
And they were with the person inside who was responsible for the fucked up shit they found. They were just like, we'll get to you in a minute. Just don't move. All right? It'd be against the law if you moved. Don't move. We're going to stop this. There's like only me. There's no police force. It's just me. So I'm going to go do this. You stay there and I'm going to come back and deal with you, okay?
Probably.
And then he fucked off to stop the mob. And then she just fucking fled. And he probably came back. He's like, well, that's another citation for you. Fleeing an officer.
Damn.
Where the fuck did she go?
On August 15th, 1842, Delphine's son, Pauline Blanqui.
Blank.
Blank?
I don't know.
Nah. Blanqui, maybe.
Blanqui!
would write that his mother had intentions of returning to New Orleans, still hiding out in Paris at the time of his writing. Though him and her other children who fled with her had shot down the idea.
Oh, they're just like, Mom, what? I want to go back. I think I can make it work. Mom, you were wanted for abuse and fleeing an officer. Remember, he's gonna find you. She's like, but...
Probably has it down in his office.
He's just like, my bitch comes back. One, two tickets. She's gonna come back.
Maybe three.
pissing me off. There's another one. You're wanted for abuse, fleeing an officer, and pissing me off, bitch.
Is this an arrest?
No, I'm just going to scold you.
Okay. From there, the details are even fewer and far between. An old copper plate found in Paris Cemetery sometime in the 1930s was inscribed, Madame Lory, born Marie Delphine Lemery, died in Paris December 7th, 1842, at the age of 62. Though it seemed to be somewhat common belief that Delphine had in fact come back to New Orleans under a new name, though given how well known she was at the time, I'm not sure how true that really could have been. Though whether she truly died in Paris or came back to New Orleans, her body has never been discovered.
And as for the house, it was torn to such disrepair that the building had to be rebuilt from the ground up. So while the building that stands there today may look like the building depicted as Delphine's mansion, none of the original building is a part of the new one. Because there are a lot of people who go over there and they're like, you know, spooky mansion. No. No spooky mansion.
No.
Also, I think it's kind of in bad taste to go ghost hunting at that mansion.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know why some people think she went back to New Orleans.
I guess it was a home, basically, for majority of her lives.
Yeah, but...
probably.
I think that that plate probably puts a nail in that coffin.
Yeah.
But that... oh, well. That is the tale of Delphine Lalaurie. It's frustratingly less detailed of the part that's more important. There's plenty of detail about how she grew up and everything. And then once you get to the part where it's like, this is the reason anyone's talking about her.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of detail.
Oof.
And she fucking got away with it. She Casey Anthony'd it.
Of course she did.
I mean, not really, because she didn't go back and then everyone's like, hey, yo, it's that lady that fucking murdered people. Hey, want to come drink at my bar?
True.
You want a TV special? You fucking baby murderer, you want a TV special, you dumb bitch? But yeah, no, she got away with it, which is kind of fucking frustrating.
Yeah.
It almost reminds me of researching Elizabeth Bathory.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you get to the point where it's like, you know, the whole reason anyone talks about her, it's... I mean, this one is unfortunately a little less vague than Elizabeth Bathory, because there's a lot of people who do account for seeing the condition of the slaves.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So it kind of reminded me of that, because it's just like, it gets kind of vague, and then fortunately, it's not as vague as Elizabeth Bathory, where you could be like, maybe this never happened.
Yeah.
At least there's like actual like eyewitnesses and shit that's like, no, this did happen.
But did it?
The part that we don't know is who did it. Because, I mean, I'm not going to absolve her from anything. She probably did fucking do it because she fucking fled. But there's at least a little bit of like a possible, you could say, conspiracy theory almost, that maybe husband number three did it.
Yeah.
Mm. Because, you know, there's like all these people are like, oh no, she was very nice to slaves. She freed two of her slaves.
Yeah, that's because she freed two. Doesn't make up for all the suffering she caused on the others.
The only thing that makes me even possibly consider that it was him is the fact that his response. He either did it himself or he joined in.
Yeah.
Because...
I'm pretty sure he joined in.
The response of mind your own fucking business.
Yeah.
Is like, dude, you knew this was happening then. Because if you didn't know, you'd be like, holy shit. My wife's a fucking psycho.
I'm pretty sure he abused the women slaves.
Oh, probably. I couldn't find out what happened to him afterwards, though.
Yeah.
At
that point, though, they were in the middle of a divorce.
He still lived in the fucking mansion. And they would say a lot that it was, like, very off and on. Like, it wasn't, like, a final, like, I don't want to see you anymore. It's just, like, sometimes we fight a lot. Okay, yeah. I'm gonna look this guy up real quick. What was his name? It was Jean... No, it was Leonard.
Yeah, Leonard.
Leonard. There we go.
Leonard Louis Nicholas.
That's what? Leonard Evans. I did not type in Leonard Evans.
Who's Leonard Evans?
I don't know. Not what I typed.
Next episode on Leonard Lemons.
Leonard Lemons?
Lemons?
Lemons. I don't want to look on Ancestry. It's not going to tell me if he got arrested.
It says he died here on Ancestry.com.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I try to look this fucker up, and I get almost nothing. It's like, he must just have not got charged with anything then.
Probably not.
Which racks my fucking brain. Because, I mean, maybe he was just standing up for his wife or something. I don't know. Just to respond, mind your own fucking business about the abused slaves in my house is just like, bro, you're not innocent. You were at the very least turning a blind eye. And he did not seem like he was very, like, powerful or anything. Like, she had all the fucking money.
True.
So I don't know who the fuck he could, like, tip off to, like, make him leave him alone. Unfortunately, I don't have an answer to what happened to fucking husband number 3 after the fact. So
hopefully he lived a very poor life and died in pain. It doesn't say how he died in Ancestry, but
no. I don't think he fled with her, because it would have... Everywhere I looked...
It says he went to France. That's where he died.
Well, maybe he did flee with her then.
Probably.
Guess. All right.
Weird times.
Very weird times. But I guess that's it for this one. I hate it because it's almost ending like an unsolved mystery.
I know, right?
Because there's no resolution. She gets away with it.
Yes, sometimes that happens.
God, it happens too often, man.
All right.
Thank you all for listening.
Hope you enjoyed today's episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a little more than the last couple ones.
It is brought to you by T-Mobile and Raid Shadow Legends. It's a sponsor of today's episode. I'm joking, we don't have sponsors.
That'd be sick though. I mean, maybe not Raid. I don't wanna fucking be sponsored by Raid, even if they pay hella.
Watch, they get in contact with
us. I don't think I've ever heard a podcast get sponsored by Raid, because I think they want all the stupid like gameplay video.
Yeah, probably. You also do have now though in Spotify, they do have that whole, you can watch the whole episode basically.
Yeah, but live. You have to film it, which we don't do because
we ugly as fuck.
I mean, not even that. I don't think we're that ugly. Our studio is uglier than we are.
Yeah, true.
I mean, Gabe, you're standing behind a camo fucking sheet.
Are you calling Michael Myers
ugly?
No, this
is the good part. This is the good part. But if we ever filmed it, it'd be...
Facing this way.
Well, actually, it would be facing this way, so maybe it wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah.
We don't have a camera, though.
No. We'll have to decorate the wall more.
I do, actually. At some point... I do want to start filming these.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because it would probably make it a lot more entertaining on YouTube.
True.
But, yeah. Okay, well, I mean, I guess that's that. We've been talking about a little bit doing another show where we kind of take more of the funny episodes over. Like the...
Talk shit.
Yeah. I mean, that would be fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell you'd call it, though. It took us, like, a month to find a name for this one?
Maybe more.
I think so, because every time I would, like, come up with a name, or you'd come up with a name...
It was taken.
Yeah, I'd go on to Spotify, I'd type it in, go to podcasts, there'd be, like, at least two of them.
Yeah.
Like, well, fuck me, okay.
Took us a while to come up with the unique name no one else had.
And we were going to try to do those, like, update episodes at least once or twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, why the fuck not?
Yeah, see what's happened.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Everything will be in the show notes as always. If you want to support the show through our sick ass merch, I'm going to put some new shirts and some new stickies on there at some point soon. Got pretty cool designs to go for that. Patreon, if you just want to give us Skrilla, that'd be sick.
Ooh.
Shout you out, send you sticks, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Email us anything you want to email, that'll be down there. Follow us on Twitter for updates. Well, yeah, that's it for us, guys. Hail Satan, everyone.
Blessed be. Y'all take care.
Go run over Casey Anthony in Minecraft.
Minecraft.